Welcome to Hacking Postgres, a podcast about extensions, extension creators, and other interesting, innovative things in the world of Postgres. I'm Rye Walker, founder of Tembo, a managed Postgres company. And today I'm here with Amit Kapila. Amit, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rye. thanks for inviting me to this show. And I'm really happy to be part of your podcast today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to chat with you. Maybe we could start with a quick background. I always love to learn about where, you know, what you were doing before Postgres. Where'd you grow up? You know, what was your precursor to the world of Postgres?
Yeah. So I did my computer science engineering in India from one of the premier institutes, Motilal Nehru Regional Engineering College, which is now MNIT. And from there, I got a job in the college where I got started with Oracle database as an app developer for Oracle. Basically, I used Oracle as a backend to write a software which manages documents. So there, I got introduced to writing stored procedures using ODBC queries, and then a lot of using Oracle stuff. And then after a few years, around after 4 years, I joined Oracle. And in Oracle, I have worked a lot in the database areas, like mostly it is client-side work, ODBC, OCI, and that kind of layers. A little bit exposure into TimeStamp database. And after a couple of years, I joined a project where Postgres was getting used. It was with a company called Huawei, where we were building a in-house database where we are trying to integrate in-memory storage engine with Postgres powerful SQL engine. So there I got introduced with Postgres. And that from there on, like I joined Postgres around 2008. Till now, I am moving one or the other level in Postgres.
Got it. Yeah. So was that while you were at Oracle, you worked on this Postgres-related project, or was it after working at Oracle?
After working at Oracle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was curious if they ever were involved in Postgres-y stuff. I would assume not, but I could be wrong. So what were your first experiences with Postgres? Was it just trying to tune it for a use case, or was it did you jump into internal stuff pretty early?
I think it is directly into the internals. Basically, the project was to integrate Postgres SQL engine with some other storage engine, like what in these days we call it as table access methods, where we have developed a layer in Postgres where anybody could plug in their storage engine.
Yeah.
At that time, there was no such plugin layer, but we have by ourselves plugged in our storage engine at the heap level, where instead of calling Postgres heap API layers, we directly plug the storage engine. So it is a lot of directly into the internals. And then we have enhanced that SQL engine for to make it compatible with PLSQL. So I had in my initial years worked a lot in PLPG SQL and SQL engine parts of Postgres. Yeah.
Was it a fork, or were you able to do work in kind of the core project?
It is a complete fork in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then after working couple of years in the fork, I was also getting introduced into the community during that time only, because we were trying to improve the performance of SQL engine and PLPG SQL. And there I came into PGPS SQL performance mailing list. So I used to keep seeing the ideas and various people which I could use there. And then later on, there were some projects where vanilla Postgres was also being used internally in the company. And I became a person who various teams, come to know about Postgres?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing about Postgres. A lot of open source ecosystems feel like if a fork happens, it's like a bad thing. Something bad has happened in the ecosystem, and that can be obviously true. But in our case, like Postgres has been forked so many times, it's really a way for a team to like go off and iterate rapidly on some innovation. And if it's a good innovation, like it might be indirect, but it'll make its way back to the project. It might be 5 years later, potentially. like certain techniques. Yeah.
Yeah. So even my understanding is even if they didn't contribute back, at the end of the day, Postgres is getting spread across the forks or getting used in one or the other way in various products. So
yeah,
that will anyway add you to Postgres.
I see it like the developers who worked on the fork are going to eventually go somewhere else where the knowledge of the fork could be used, in an open source effort. So yeah,
definitely. Yeah. I am the live example of that, right?
Yeah.
I started my journey as a fork engineer who worked on the fork, and then slowly I got introduced into the community. I joined EDP and I became a full-time developer for open source.
Was there, back when you guys were doing that fork, was there any negativity in the community about the fact that you were doing that, or did you feel like...
I don't think the even community was aware till very late when I got introduced into the community. I have told them. And I think not even then, now or then, there is not much difference. Community always is, quite open that people are doing folk. As I have told you, it's a way to spread Postgres.
Yeah. I think it's really cool because it seems like the Postgres community just keeps a very level head. It doesn't get too excited about anything, and it doesn't, one way or another, it doesn't get angry about things. And it doesn't get too pumped up about something. In fact, some ideas will take, active replication.
Yeah.
We're inching towards it. It's not like there's this mad rush. I think there's a need for it, but, it's just very tempoed, I think it's...
Yeah, I think we are inch by inch moving towards that direction, and there is no hurry. And I think that is one of the reasons of the Postgres growth. Like, we, in the beginning, only make the feature or any enhancement a very thoroughly, designed and reviewed and all those things, so that it could be enhanced in the future also easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it just delivers very solid code in a sense. That's the benefit of the pace is the code freeze for 17 is coming, and something's not ready, it's just gonna it'll be another year, and it's kind
of definitely.
Yeah. So tell me all the things, I guess, up till now. You could go reverse chronological or maybe talk about what you're working on right now and then move backwards towards the fork. But what all have you been doing with the Postgres code base? And are you working on stuff outside of the Postgres code base as well?
No, at this stage I am, my most of the job is
inside
Postgres. So. Yep. Yeah, I think let us start with the recent work, and then slowly I will move towards. It would be always interesting to talk more on the recent things.
Yeah.
In last 2 to 3 years, I am primarily working in logical replication or active replication area, where overall, the basic theme is to make logical replication better.
Yeah.
And being used as much as possible for active kind of workloads. Though we are still far from it, but with each release, we are improving on it. For example, in this release for Postgres 17, one of the things which we have committed is upgrades. Like, allow the upgrade of the logical replication clusters. Before 17, if there is a logical replication cluster and you upgrade it, after upgrade, you need to reset up it, which is a big setback for users.
Yeah.
There may be tools, utilities outside code, which users can use, but inside code, there was nothing. So there is a lot of help with that for online upgrades.
Yeah.
So then the other feature we are working is towards high availability, which is to allow failover slots. Like in logical replication, there is a publisher subscriber and the publisher goes down as a primary node, then there is no way the subscriber can continue. So we are allowing the physical standby to take over the place of primary or publisher, and the subscribers can connect there, and whole failover mechanism will work. The users would be able to continue there.
Yeah. For me, when I learn about, for example, I come from Apache Airflow. My previous company, we were built, kind of the stewards of that project, and we introduced HA for the Airflow scheduler, which is basically the most important like centerpiece. And if it went down, like nothing happened, to make that HA, was a big effort. And it's just the way I want everything to run. Like I would love to have the default structure for any software nowadays should be two clusters that are twins and one can die at any time and it's okay,
Yeah, so
I'm excited that we're moving towards that. I think even if I have a small Postgres database, I would rather have, let's say it's just like, I have a two CPU database. I'd rather have it be two one CPU databases, That way, if it falters, and I know that like traditional HA is like, you have your two, you have another backup that's also got the two, maybe there's a third one, and they're not really doing much work. But I'm not getting value out of that spend, and except for when disaster strikes, which obviously is valuable. That's insurance. But I was thinking like it's just great to be able to have that high availability and not wasting money in the process.
Yeah, right. If there are two active solutions which are working, and there is a way to do the failover anytime, I think there is nothing better than that.
Yeah. Are you tracking like PG Edge has a project called Spock, I guess. Are you familiar with that at all? I don't know if you guys
I am familiar at the top level, but I don't, I'm not following greatly like what features they are building or exactly what they are doing.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple of other things like I know that AWS also has launched some extension like PG Active, similar on the similar lines. So this area has a lot of demand. And I agree that community is going at a certain pace and sometimes users, enterprise users want it at a faster pace. So there is a room for such extensions or, such products, which could be niche for some of the users.
So as I understand it, the way replication or the way active works today and 16 is it's going to create conflicts kind of routinely, and that we need to have some sort of engine to handle routine conflicts. And then maybe you have some really novel conflicts at some point that you have to, maybe a human has to get involved with. But is that about true or?
I think this is true. I think this is one of the major or one of the very important lacking features where we are lacking. It is in conflict resolution and conflict detection.
Do you think that's going to make it into 17 from your viewpoint?
No. There is no active work going on, but I'm sure in coming releases, there will be proposals, there will be a work on this area because we are going well in this area.
So maybe 18. That's our hope.
Yeah. I think in Postgres, it is very difficult to say any release. As you have told me some time back, even if at the feature freeze, we have committed a feature and we found some design problems after feature freeze, we just revert all the things. So I think it is unlike other proprietary databases or where we commit the timeline that, okay, by this, the customers will get this.
Yeah.
It's not so easy because it is not primarily a customer driven, but a, you know, development driven or quality driven work.
Yeah, I love that too, by the way. I love that essentially the core team, you know, those engineers, they're in control. They really, they face the project almost exclusively and not so much, you know, I'm sure that if there's a customer issue at Enterprise DB that you can help with, you might do that.
Definitely. But that is fine. I think that community itself takes care. If somebody reports a serious problem or important problem, it gets resolved quickly.
So, but there's, you know, there's like most of your time isn't in that triage, you know, and fixing customer issues. That's the exception rather than the rule of your day, I imagine. So that's good. What else, anything else you said, replication, active stuff, like what else have you, done in Postgres? Have we gotten all the way back through your history yet?
That's some of the recent features, but in last few releases also, most of my work has gone in this area only. In the last release, we have done the parallel apply. In release prior to that, we have allowed large transactions to stream in logical replication even before the commit, or making the prepared transactions to, you know, stream at prepare time.
Yeah.
For example, good thing about getting two-phase transactions replicated at prepare time is, like, people can build a conflict-free logical replication solution around it. Because at prepare time, if you know there is a conflict and prepare is not successful, you can roll back the transaction at the master.
Yeah.
So these are our features to reduce the apply, the lag of transactions between publisher and subscriber. Basically, like for in progress earlier, say there is a very large transaction, basically a 1 GB of data bulk load or something like that. So all the data earlier gets used to get replicated at the commit time. But with recent releases, we allowed it to stream even before commit after a certain threshold, which help us to, you know, replay or reduce the lag for large transactions by applying them also in parallel now.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I was just remembering, EDB has like the BDR project. Is that tracking along with the new, I guess I would say like the Postgres 16, 17, 18 work, or is it kind of like a prior attempt at multi-master replication? I don't know how familiar you are with BDR. I've never seen.
I haven't also read all the internals, but I think they would be integrating all the features which are getting developed for 16, 17, or 15. But yeah. I'm sure that they have more advanced features prior to us, prior to the community version itself.
Yeah, I just
remembered.
For example,
I think they have the DDL replication and conflict resolution in some way for their customers.
Do you think some of that work could make its way into the open source, or is it kind of like a different team? Some other team on the internet's going to have to like decide to take on that conflict resolution task.
Difficult to say if they want to contribute or not. I am not part of EDB now, but I think otherwise there is a lot of attraction towards this area of logical replication. I can say that various companies, including Microsoft, Amazon, Fujitsu, EDB itself, at each release, they are contributing one or the other feature. There is no single person, but various companies are improving this area for active replication.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. That's, what level have you achieved? Are you a contributor or a committer, at the project?
I am a Postgres SQL committer and major contributor.
Yeah. Okay. That's I wanted to make sure. So how long was your journey to get to that? Basically, if you have any challenge, like what challenges did you face on the path from getting started to achieving major contributor?
Yep. I think there was never a goal like I want to become major contributor or committer. In those days, even those titles were not so frequently updated.
Yep.
Like the idea was, as I have told you, when I have started in working on the integrating proprietary stuff, the idea was to get more familiar with Postgres and improve my knowledge. I think it all started with when in 2012, I went first time for PGCon Ottawa, where I met various people like Tom Lane, Robert, and others. And I really got inspired by speaking to them, by their knowledge. And at that time, I decided that I want to be part of this community and I want to work with such people. So that was the theme. And there, slowly I moved to EDB and I started working on Postgres projects like improving the hash indexes, parallel query, Alter system, various kind of big projects I have worked on, improving the performance scalability of Postgres. So doing all these projects over years, community has recognized my contributions and made me committer and also a major contributor.
Yep.
So in the journey, as such, the challenge I would say is for anyone like is basically the persistence. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes for large projects, it takes many, many commit fests or even multiple releases to go through it. There are various factors due to that. Like, as we have discussed, basically one is quality and various people evaluate. If you are working on a core feature, it will get evaluated by various people, committers. So the major challenge is the patience you have to keep and keep working on it. The other thing is in India, in those days, there was not a major environment for open source development. Like in US, it was prior to India, open source environment was quite, open and people, you find commonly the people working in open source. Whereas in India at that time, the things were not so easy. You get a full-time job where you are only contributing to open source. So yeah. That is where one thing which I slowly get, and I am really thankful to EDB for that. And now yep. Fujitsu, who has given me that opportunity. So companies like these are really not only to me, but to many people now, they are facilitating to work on open source.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty lucky to have gotten that kind of job at that time, right? Like, it's just, like sometimes you get a nice dice roll, and that he had that. But I think maybe the lesson learned there is to, just to be looking for those kind of opportunities for young developers. Like, I talk all the time about, we have a university here in my town, University of Cincinnati, and I'm basically trying to establish an open source lab there. If the kids would just contribute to open source for 4 years of their undergrad and have 4 years of GitHub history, like they are so easy to hire, compared to kids that just did classwork silly little projects that are on their own GitHub. Like, no, go contribute to get some stuff into Postgres, man. Like that's a big accomplishment. Hard, of course, but I mean, they can contribute docs. I always say, like, just do docs, we always need better docs.
Yeah.
So, are there some developments in Postgres that you're excited about that you're seeing, whether it's in the project or in the ecosystem?
I think one of the areas I see quite excited is Citus, that Microsoft's extension, how they have built slowly over years I still remember my days when I started in Community 2012 or so. Those people used to come at conference, and they, in those days only, I think they have started it. I don't remember the exact year, but those were the starting years for them also. And I am really glad to see that how they have built a powerful extension as Citus, which is acquired by Microsoft and being used so widely now.
Yeah.
That really inspires me. And
yeah.
I am really happy about it, because it's not only about their success, it's also they are taking Postgres ecosystem to a different level.
Yeah. Yeah, our CTO, Sameh, is ex-Citus, and he's kind of like, it's quite a bear. You know, we probably don't want to touch it anytime soon. I'm curious, are you guys in Fujitsu Enterprise, are you integrating Citus into that? Or
I am in Fujitsu mostly looking at the open source work.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as my knowledge is there, I am not aware of any such plans. But
okay.
Could be there.
I think Crunchy Data just announced that they're gonna ship Citus. They're gonna
This is really a big achievement for Citus. Yeah. I don't see.
Yeah. Maybe we'll touch it at some point. Whenever Sameh says we're ready, you know, to deal with it. It's apparently pretty complicated to support and sell and all those kinds of things. A lot of stuff. A lot of details there.
On the other hand, Crunchy has a lot of muscles in Postgres, so
yeah.
I see a point for them to go in that direction.
Yeah. If you had a magic wand and you could add any feature to Postgres magically, you know, like perfect execution, what would you use that wand on?
I think there is no single feature, probably. There are two, three things. One is I would make tomorrow the active-active topology or application possible for the users.
Yeah.
But I know it is going to take a couple of years from now.
Yeah.
And probably the other is I would also like to someday see that the pain due to auto vacuum goes via, some Hadoop-based storage engine or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You're the second, I think it's two in a row where the magic wand was used on active-active. So
yeah,
it's definitely a popular thing as we, spend a lot of time talking about it. But is there anything in Postgres that you're kind of a contrarian, that people don't agree with you about, but you're standing your ground? Or are you kind of, does that happen very much where, you find yourself in a different position than the majority on anything?
I think, for example, hash indexes, which I have improved in Postgres 10 with Robert, and people, I think it is a good index, which got lesser love than B3 index, but I feel there is some niche use cases for it. And we as a community should, improve that index also further and keep building on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like there's a use case. In the PG vector world, there's like two indexes now, and one index is it's kind of good enough for simple use cases, and then the other one might be better for other use cases, but it requires like more setup, more pre-processing, and it's, that's the tricky thing with like these kind of index decisions is. Where is the edge? There is no edge. There's only a grayscale, right? Of when one's right and the other one's right. And even if we were going to try to like build a tool to advise users on what index to use for what, that's a pretty hard little computer science problem, I think, right there.
Definitely. It's not easy always to decide what you want to. User, as a user, you want the best, like as fast as my query can run. I don't care which index internally system is using. You tell me which all index needs to be created. I just want my results faster.
That I actually think that like recommending indexes to the user is a problem that like the modern machine learning technology that's just getting started now is going to be able to handle. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it was hard to build a linear model that came up with the perfect answer, but really you don't need the perfect answer. You just need an approximately good answer, right? It doesn't have to, if in some cases it recommended use this index and in another case it used that index, but it was near the edge of the border, you know, that's okay. It's actually the border is not so defined. So it's okay if sometimes it says left, sometimes it says right, as far as I'm concerned. So, but it's hard to build like linear systems that do such things, you know?
Basically some sort of advisory tools like index advisory or some other maintenance advisory, I think, or even the statistics advisory, like you basically such type of tools are at least missing in the core, but I know there are PG index advisor or few things which are outside core extensions, which do provide some kind of advisory. And I think eventually in Postgres also we need to integrate or build something, because this I feel is an quite important area which should be improved.
Yeah, and I think that the ratio of like DBAs that know how to answer that question to users is going in the wrong direction, you know, in terms of expertise winning out. You know, I think 10 or 20 years ago, there were the high level of there, you know, each database had a pretty good share of a database expert compared to now, where, you know, we all have, you know, the managed services makes it so easy for anyone to spin up a database that they really don't know how to service or take care of, you know, and finding a DBA to help tell you what index is not trivial. You know, they're all either expensive or busy, you know. Yeah, that's good. Do you listen to podcasts very much? I'm curious if you have any favorite podcasts, or if you don't listen to them, that's okay.
Nope.
You just read the mailing list. That's it, right?
Yeah. I think that takes quite some of my time.
Yeah.
Keeping myself up to date with hackers.
Yeah. I was trying to read it for a while, but as a CEO, non-contributor,
I think the point is only, I think, Ray, when you are contributing to it, when say there are 50 new email threads each day on hackers, and if you are contributing to 4 or 5 of those, you will feel good when after sending your responses, you read other people's responses and you are actively looking into it. But I am also very sure that if one day I'm not an active contributor, then it is not so easy to keep following that.
Well, great. It's been great chatting with you. Are you online anywhere? Are you on Twitter, or where can people find you? Obviously they can find you on the hackers mailing list, but anywhere else?
I'm available on Twitter primarily. Twitter, okay. LinkedIn. I think these are the two things, or great. Even that somebody could send me a mail if required.
Yep. All right. We'll link to your profile in the show notes, but it was great chatting with you, and appreciate all the work you're doing, and excited to see the results over the next few years of get the active out the door someday here, you know, like to the point where you guys say, yeah, use it. Right now it's like it's kind of there, don't use it. Great. All right, thank you.